Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
As we've progressed through the season, I've been pulling a lot of situational pages out of my notebook, talking about ideas of what we handled with the game plan last week. We talked about openers. We talked about third downs. Today, I'm going to focus on last plays of the game, and I think it's something that truly is undercoached. And I'll see in most situations when teams hit this area, there seems to be that sense of panic. And I don't think it comes from necessarily that they're down and they need to get a score as much as they're panicked because they really haven't worked those situations as much. They don't necessarily come up a lot of times during the course of the game, but I do think you need to be prepared. So we're going to look at some examples of this. I'm going to offer some video support in our show notes as well as a PDF on some ideas for you just to structure this area of your game plan. I think the biggest thing you want to emphasize as a coach is this is a time for you really to keep your composure and show some poise. Your players are going to reflect what is going on with you and your demeanor, and you have to be confident in this situation. And why are you confident? Well, it's because you've practiced this and your players know and understand what they're supposed to do. Earlier this offseason, we talked with Tony DeMeo about a disaster plan, that situation where you get behind and you have to claw your way back into the game. That's something I think is important that you address, obviously, through camp. But the situation here, the end of the game plays, is something that you have to work each week. And if you haven't been working to this point, it's okay. Take some time, install them, and work them each week the rest of the way through. Before we get into the specifics and schematics of the last plays, let's think first about these situations. So some things you need to go before your team goes onto the field is how much time is left on the clock. Do you truly have only a couple plays left? In which case, a timeout could help you there. In some situations, a timeout might not help. You might only have one play left and you're going to have to execute that. So knowing the situation as far as time, how you want to manage it, how you want to use your timeouts is important. Do you need 3 points? Do you need a touchdown? Again, place on the field kind of comes into play because you might, let's say, need only a field goal, but maybe there's 8 seconds left on the clock. And in this case, maybe the yardage isn't going to be enough with 8 seconds to get you into field goal range and call a timeout. Those are things you need to consider. You need to know what you have in your game plan that you're going to use to attack those areas, and that's going to work into this as well. So assuming that we're getting into our last plays, let's think about some of the things we want to do. And first one is what a lot of teams would call Big Ben or their Hail Mary play. And I think this has some important considerations as you look at it. So think of it in terms of, first of all, the objective or the design of the play. The play is designed to put the ball in the end zone on one play, last play of the game, and either score or draw a defensive interference penalty. And both are a possibility in this situation. The next thing you want to think about, and a lot of teams do this, is finding the right personnel for it. So you're going to need a tipper, you're going to need a player who goes beyond the tipper, and you're going to have a trail man. Ideally, your tipper is going to be your most rangy receiver with some vertical leap ability. He's going to want to get up in the air and either high point that ball and bring it down through a lot of traffic, or be able to tip it and get a piece of it so that the ball is still alive and that the other players have a chance to catch it and score. Your guy who's going to go beyond probably needs to be faster than this group. While the timing of this, again, is just to get him in the end zone and get that ball up in the air, we want that guy who's going to be a little bit faster, who can get beyond and essentially be in position then to catch a tip that might go forward. Okay, your other guy will be your trail man. Obviously, you want him to have good hands, be very sure-handed, and be able to catch the ball and drive into the end zone if he catches it underneath the goal line. Now, the other guy in the mix would be a one-on-one guy, your best guy, your fastest guy, who could beat somebody over the top Most likely there's going to be a ton of cushion on him. There could be another player over there as well to bracket him, but somebody maybe who can give you a chance to win on one-on-one and catch the ball in traffic in the end zone on the other side. So he's going to run a streak. On the other side, we're going to have those three players running to their designated point. One is going across the goal line, one is 5 yards beyond him, and one is 5 yards underneath. The quarterback then has to throw the right type of ball if he's going for that tipper. He wants that ball really to have an up and down trajectory. He doesn't want to throw it on a line. He has to get air under it. Could be a wounded duck pass if need be, but the most important thing is that when he's in range, that ball has to get into the end zone. Now, let's talk about a situation possibly where you are outside that range, and I think you can add 10 more yards to this in that regard. But in this case, then, we're definitely going to have that middleman be the tipper. He's not going to be the guy probably to go up and catch the ball in that kind of traffic because most likely he's going to get tackled there outside the goal line. So we want a situation then. We could extend 10 yards. He doesn't get across the goal line. You adjust that maybe 5 yards out or even 10 if that's the case. And he's getting up into the air to try to knock that ball, ideally beyond to the guy who's gone forward past him, or if necessary, just get it in the air so the trail man can get there and maybe make a play to get in the end zone. So I think that's a play you can use in the quarterback's range and then 10 yards beyond that. Once we get outside that area, we really need to consider what we want to do. Again, if we have the time, we could pick up a chunk. I'll show a variation of that in our video that we just called Little Ben, and essentially it was two guys going vertical with that third guy running a deep 20-yard, or again, depending on your quarterback's range, maybe a little bit deeper than that, 20 to 25-yard out to pick up a chunk of it to either get you into field goal range or get you in range to make one more throw, whether that's throw to the end zone on the Big Ben play or some other play that you're able to call and run. The next consideration then is when you are out of the quarterback's arm range, what do you do in that case? You might be deep, deep, deep on your side of the field. It doesn't make sense necessarily to throw a jump ball to the middle of the field. So now we want to try to spread with space and get other players involved and essentially create some chaos that we might come out with a play in our favor. So what we liked here is something that you saw Boise State do to Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl years ago. They really made this play popular, but we're going to run a hook and ladder. And so we want our guy who's running the hook essentially to get inside, get to a soft spot in the defense. Ideally, it's between those linebackers and underneath the safety and catch the ball at 15 yards. Once he makes that catch, he wants to set the defense. So he's going to start running laterally away from where he made the catch and opposite of where the pitch man is going. So the pitch man will be from the other side. I mean, what we did in our case is we took the 2x2 formation, two inside guys would clear. The guy to the hook side would want to make sure he would get an inside release to take that safety with him. The guy away from the hook would get an outside release to take his safety with him. And then the other guy who's going to be the pitch man, the guy who's going to get the lateral, is going to essentially kind of run an in route, and he's just timing it up. He's looking to see that safety clear. He's looking to see where the linebackers are, and he wants to see that guy catch the ball and then race underneath him with enough space between them where he can get a dead pitch and get away from defenders. Now, the other guy who we get into the mix then is going to be the running back. We would have him protect to the hook side. And then after he's done his protection, he's looking up to see where is that hook guy. And he's running essentially to the bottom of the numbers to try to become a pitch man in the case that the guy who we're laddering it to is going to be tackled. So it becomes almost an option phase for him. So that guy who catches the lateral from the hook man is able to have a pitch man to the outside. Now, that's not where it ends because, again, we're on the last play of the game, and the worst thing that could happen is we get tackled outside the end zone. So we have to do everything within our power to not be tackled. So then what we do is have the quarterback give a go call. Okay, after the ball is released, he essentially wants to see that hook caught. and then he wants those guys to get down the field. So those guys will start spreading out in lanes, almost like you would in a punt coverage. And their job then is to start to get into some kind of pitch phase, so that if that ball comes backward because a guy doesn't want to get tackled, they're working to move the ball all around the field. So it becomes at that point, we usually would call this technique for them rugby. We want them to go and play rugby after that, not get tackled with the ball, and make sure that every lateral goes backwards. And we don't want to be in that situation, but we want to do everything within our power to make something of that last play. Again, that will be shared, the diagram for that and some of the coaching points, in the video that I'll put in our show notes. So the next consideration then is, how do we practice this each week? Well, it's something that we would put in camp, and we would spend a section of every Thursday practice. For us, that was a shell practice. We would have helmets and shoulder pads on. It would essentially be a lot of simulated drives that we were working different areas of our game plan on different areas of the field. And then what we would do at the end is run a two-minute drill. And sometimes these plays would get called in the two-minute drill against the defense. What we would do if they didn't get called is, we would go ahead for the Big Ben play. We would go ahead and set a defense out there. Their job was essentially to try to get up in the air. We didn't want anybody to get tangled, so they were careful with how aggressive they were, but they were trying to get up in the air and essentially bat the ball down. Everybody else, though, would be trying to play that tip and knock the ball away. So they would go ahead and react like they normally would on that play. We would get our guys into the end zone and attempt to execute it. We didn't work for perfection there. We would have those guys have the opportunity. They either executed it or did not within their reps that they got, and we would usually take a few at that. And then the other thing then would be to work that play called middle hook, or the code word was Boise, and then also allowing our offensive linemen and other players to get involved in what we called rugby from that point on. For those guys, we would let a defense be out there, but it would be touch football and kind of, you know, look like the playground a little bit. But what we wanted was our linemen to get used to pitching the ball to another person and making sure that it was lateral. So it would only take us about 5 minutes to work those last plays, and our players then understand what we were trying to do. If it was a situation where we felt, again, we would put some time on the clock, we would tell them that, hey, we need a field goal here, and there's enough time, we could use a timeout, or there's enough time maybe to get up and spike it. We would work those situations as well. And each week, we would kind of present a different scenario, so that we were always changing it up and putting them in some different situations. Now, once we got in range, and if we did have time, we did have some plays we liked to go to. So from the 25 in, and a lot of this was kind of prescribed within our game plan and plays we liked in this area. I did explain some of those and put some video in a few weeks ago when I was talking about the red zone. But one of those plays, which I outlined in the video here, would be what we called our smash swap. So we were 3x2. We'd like this play from the 25 really up to the 12 in this situation, really all of those routes except one getting to the end zone, and we're working to get our quarterback's eyes scanning across to find the open man. So I'll share that in there as well, but think about how you can utilize, again, just 5 to 10 minutes of practice each week to work some of these. I think it's important as you get into those situations now, end of the season, maybe you're playing for a conference championship, maybe you're getting into the playoffs where, you know, the competition is tight and it may come down to the last play of the game. Also think of this too as last plays of the half, okay? It doesn't have to be used in just this situation. If you could get into a situation where you might be able to squeeze some points out, even if it's a field goal at the end, you might want to think about using some of these. Again, that kind of goes to how you want to manage the clock, the risks you want to take to put your players in a situation to score points. But again, working these throughout the rest of the season will provide some value to your team moving forward. Best of luck to you as you progress through the rest of the season. We'll continue to share some of these. Check out our new Twitter at FBDEVCoach, at Football Dev Coach, FBDEVCoach, and our website, footballdevelopment.com, where we have our contact system, as well as some new things coming up with tackling. Be sure to check out and register for our national conference. PJ Fleck is confirmed as one of our keynote speakers. Our state champions now have accumulated to 76. We have a lot of those guys who looks like they're going to play deep again this year, and we continue to add our last slots to that speaker schedule. Go to usafootball.com/NC19podcast to register and check it out.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.